An elderly man in Washington state killed himself and his wife because they didn't have enough money to pay their medical debt, according to the Whatcom County Sheriff's Office. Nearly 80 million Americans carry medical debt, which contributes to 50% of American bankruptcies, and as you just heard, worse. 42%, almost half of the 9.5 million people diagnosed with cancer between 2000 and 2012, depleted their assets within 2 years. We're reminded of all of this in a New Yorker piece by Nathan Heller on the promise and pitfalls of GoFundMe, which crowdsources financial aid, a third of which is medical expenses. But GoFundMe is hit or miss. Our next guests think they have an alternative. They are former collection industry executives who decided to use their expertise to forgive medical debt instead of collecting it. And so far, their company, RIP Medical Debt, has abolished hundreds of millions of dollars in debt. They want to reach a billion by 2020. Co-founders Craig Antico and Jerry Ashton join us now. And Craig, we read this started when you were contacted by Occupy Wall Street. They were trying to raise $50,000 to buy people's debt. And you had a light bulb moment.
Well, the light bulb was that we noticed that their website was no longer accepting donations. And we said, wow, it looked like they were doing a tremendous job. It looked like they abolished over $30 million of debt, whether it was medical and student loans. But that left us saying, hey, we're the only ones that really could decide to go and abolish medical debt. Why don't we go do it? Yeah. We can't let this just die.
And now explain what we mean when we say medical debt. This is debt that's moved already to, well, creditors, you know, people who are trying to get the money. And then they also sell it to agencies which try to turn a profit through collecting the debt. In other words, if they can get just some of it, they give some of the money to themselves. Have I got that right?
You need to understand the life cycle of a medical bill. If you're unfortunate enough to get sick or hurt and you go to a hospital, automatically you start creating a bill. If you don't respond to that for whatever reason, then the hospital is forced to consider using collection agencies. Now, collection agencies work on a contingency. That means that they are assigned the accounts and they are guaranteed a percentage if they're able to recover it. Well, that can go on for two or three agencies for many hospitals until at some point in time the agencies will come back and say, these people are not responding. That's when the idea of debt purchasing comes into that world.
Well, to be clear, as you've explained, Jerry, this is after creditors have tried to get people to pay. Most of the time it's like blood from a stone. They can't. And the hospitals or, you know, whoever the providers are might then sell this debt to these other collectors.
Yeah, let me explain how it works. There's only about one collector for every 8,000 accounts at a hospital. There's $75 billion of medical debt that's in collection and on people's credit reports. So think of a hospital. They have $100 million of debt that they can't collect. They've gone through their 3 to 6 collection agencies over, say, 2 years. And a company comes to them and says, I'm willing to pay you 5%. And you've got to say, well, what are the chances of me collecting on that? It's an amazing windfall for them to get cash on accounts that have already been through 4, 5, 6 collection agencies. That's where the debt buyer comes in and why they're so valuable. Initially, what we did was we went to those debt buyers and we said to them, instead of collecting on these accounts that are 2 years, 3 years old when you get them, and you might have to collect on them for 5, 6, 7 years to make your return on your money, why don't we pay you for them? And we're only paying for the accounts that really are the ones that are in hardship. You know, are they spending more than 5% of their gross income? We'll abolish it. Or if they're making less than 2 times the federal poverty level, they'll qualify. Amongst also being technically insolvent, which means that they have more debt than they have assets. Those are the 3 main criteria that we use to abolish the debt.
Well, so you buy this debt with money that you've raised, and then you turn around and instead of trying to collect the debt that you've bought, your goal is to cancel that debt.
Our only goal is to see that that debt is taken off the backs of our fellow Americans. Our only goal is to see that if there's a credit mark against them for that medical debt, that that is taken off their credit report. Our only goal is to see that that debt disappears.
Yeah, we put it into our debt cemetery.
We carry this RIP thing out a little bit too far.
Okay, well, look, let's just explain too, is because it was so inexpensive. I mean, some people might say, wow, $5 million to get $100 million worth of debt. That's no small change, but it is relatively inexpensive. You say you can wipe out $1 million worth of debt with $10,000. I mean, at this point,
that is
it's
correct.
Reduced and so much.
This is the exciting part, if I can intrude here. Yeah. Because the price point is so reasonable and the deliciousness of someone who wants to help someone else, to get that kind of bang for the buck is unbelievable. Every dollar is worth $100. Every $10 is worth $1,000.
Interestingly, we are about to abolish our 800 millionth dollar of debt. So we will be abolishing our billionth dollar probably within the next 2 months. That's for over 300,000 people.
Ahead of your goal of 2020. And just to have be a little more specific here. So, for instance, you had two families that had Kentucky ties who wanted to help abolish debt in Appalachia. And they did, about $8 million worth. How much did they donate to abolish $8 million worth of debt?
Yeah, one couple gave $80,000. Mm-hmm. And another couple gave $20,000.
And wiped out $8 million in debt.
$8 million in debt. Our program costs are actually the data that we add to find out whether they qualify. It's the letters that we send. We send out yellow envelopes that tell people that their debt's been abolished. It's a surprising letter because it's a random act of kindness. They had no idea that they were getting this letter. We also have a team of people that go out to hospitals and debt buyers and actually work on getting debt.
But how do you choose?
We choose by adding data. TransUnion Healthcare Systems and the main TransUnion have supported us because they want to use information for good. So we're like a predatory giver. And what they're doing is they're letting us know, what's the simulated income of this family? How many people are in the family? What federal poverty level percentage are they at? Because we want to make sure that we're abolishing debt for people that are actually deserving.
Yeah.
And people don't know that when you go to a hospital, usually there's a financial assistance policy that actually will give the cost of that care for free if you make less than 2 times the poverty level, which actually is about 33% of this whole population.
This is the challenge that Americans face, is that either they don't understand how the hospital system works, and very few people do, not even people in the hospital as far as we can tell in some cases. The education is insufficient to the challenges that are there. And frankly, you could walk in having a great job, perfect credit, lovely home, and 8 months later, you could qualify for charity.
It just sounds incredible. But just, you know, one question that was raised in the New Yorker article about GoFundMe and, you know, the kind of downside of this kind of crowdsourcing is that it frees the government from having to do something to fix the problem that is the problem in the first place, the fact that there is such huge medical debt.
Well, there are fingers pointed everywhere. Hospitals will point to insurance companies who will point to the providers, who will point to the pharmacies. Everyone wants to see that somebody else pays the bill. So we're just sweeping after the parade. We know that. We know that our work is very, very important, but it takes care of the people that are wounded and on the battlefield. We really do need to stop the wars, but at this moment, that's not where we're positioned.
Okay, so tell me, either you, Jerry Ashton, or Craig Antico, that yellow envelope goes out. It's like the old TV shows, you know, where people would get, there was a millionaire or something giving out money or something. Have you ever seen someone receive it?
I haven't seen anybody get it. And we felt that it was really an invasion of privacy
right. To
actually record them when they get the letter, like Ed McMahon coming to the front door with a yellow envelope. Because
right. Medical
debt is a private thing, and so is debt.
Yeah. So really, when we do the work that we do and we know that that yellow envelope will arrive by surprise at somebody's homes, we don't expect to hear from them. Mm-hmm. Many times we know that when we do hear from them, that tears came about, incredulity came about. Mm-hmm. People would call their neighbors or they would call the Better Business Bureau to mm-hmm. find out if indeed we were real. So we know we're affecting people. And we're happy about doing that, and we're grateful to our our donors because that makes that happen. Yeah. But there's one thing that I'd like to have Craig address, and that is the fact that we're studying this problem very, very carefully, and there's a team of four universities that are working together with us to do an economic impact study of what it means to take medical debt off of someone's back.
Yeah, the preliminary results are encouraging. And this is only the first step. They just got a $1 million grant to actually survey the people that have had their debt abolished and the control group. Right now, that's an economic impact study. Yeah. This is going to talk more about the mental and spiritual and emotional side of this horrible, destructive thing called medical debt.
Yeah. That's Jerry Ashton, Craig Antico, co-creators of the RIP Medical Debt Charity. They buy and forgive medical debt. They don't try to collect it, although they're former collectors. Jerry, Craig, thank you so much for speaking to us about it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
And here's another success. The Northwood Church in Mississippi donated $36,000, paid off $4 million in medical debt for 4,100 people in seven counties. We'll hook you up to RIP Medical Debt at hereandnow.org.